mission. From what would you say you do here to we are a team passionate about X, chapter 4. You've probably been a part of a group somewhere that didn't do much of anything. Maybe it was a group for a school project, a mandatory committee that nobody really wanted to be on, or a student organization whose membership consisted completely of indifferent resume builders. Often, the members may be able to say a clever little line in an interview that seems to validate the organization, such as, "The council serves as an open forum, facilitating the sharing of each individual's unique perspectives on a wide variety of issues related to blank." In other words, sometimes we chat, but most of the time we don't really do anything. Please don't let this happen to your organization. Strive to have a real purpose, mission, vision, whatever you want to call it, behind your organization. Don't let your organization's goals lounge on paper. Make them real and exciting. The existence of a mission is the key factor distinguishing a loose collection of humans from a true organization. A mission separates crappy clubs from committed coalitions. With one, you're a powerful force for meaningful progress. Without one, you're just a bunch of people doing a bunch of stuff. Or worse still, a bunch of people not doing anything. A mission transforms a bunch of stuff into a James Bond-esque thrill ride. Mastering this leadership foundation is a prerequisite to keeping the organization energized, focused, and equipped to take care of business. Missions are largely about providing answers to the fundamental questions. As such, this chapter will be organized by questions. That is, we will provide you with the why, when, where, what, and how, respectively, of the mission. You'll learn how to continually strengthen and clarify your organization's understanding of its mission. Whether or not you decide to go through this chapter's full-blown process, draft a slew of guiding documents, or just begin asking the right questions, the mere process of formulating the top-level view of your organization has high value. Why bother? So maybe the chapter intro didn't sell you, and you still think the whole concept of messing around with a mission is largely unnecessary. The thinking goes something like, "But we already know what we do. Why mess with all that nonsense?" Such an initial reaction is certainly understandable. Hypocrisy with regard to mission statements is everywhere. You've probably experienced a crabby checkout person standing directly underneath a huge banner displaying a mission statement. Inevitably, the sign goes on about how the customer is the most valued person at XYZ company. Give me a break! Such flagrant contradictions might make the very word mission leave a bad taste in your mouth. During the course of this chapter, try to forget about those sorts of experiences. While you might not get congruency from your checker, a clearly understood mission can provide your organization with very real benefits. A mission can provide you with a stronger focus and inspiration within your organization. As a leader within a student organization, making decisions is one of your primary roles. How do you go about making these decisions as you plan and execute projects within your organization? Many organizations and executive boards make their decisions ad hoc or off the cuff. People generally choose the option that makes the most sense or seems to best further a particular project. Such a decision-making methodology works acceptably, but occasionally a real conundrum presents itself. Someone is mad or you are really torn between two options. In the face of such difficulties and without a guiding force, executive boards can just talk for hours before they reach an acceptable solution. But this process could take minutes if provided with an adequate mission. Generally speaking, the tougher your decisions and the more time you spend debating what to do, the more you can benefit from a mission. Merely choosing which activities your organization should do is a big part of a mission's value. Being focused on a clear mission acts as an automatic filter for all of your activities. When your crew gets together, they are likely to suggest a wide variety of activities. We should do some social stuff, and some charity stuff, and some school outreach stuff, and some totally wild stuff. A mission provides you with an impartial means of separating the wheat from the chaff. You can't do everything, so having a mission makes these choices easier. And realizing what your organization is not about also really helps. A mission can prevent the "we can be all things to all people" sort of idealism that really frustrates your members. Using a mission to choose congruent activities provides people with the consistency they crave. Finally, the presence of a mission makes individuals feel like they are a part of something big and great. As any James Bond can tell you, missions are thrilling. When people's individual assignments are linked up to a group's larger mission, they feel important. Which sounds better? I'm sending out a bunch of emails because they told me to. Or, I'm reaching out to some people who can benefit from our insight. The service portion of the mission. Knowing what your organization is about and why you're bothering with your menial labor can serve as a continual source of rejuvenation. When should you start? As soon as possible. If the benefits of establishing and/or clarifying your mission seem intangible, you may be tempted to put off this process until that never-ending time known as later. The mission development process resembles training for an individual. Both enhance your future performance and aren't urgent, but you gain the most benefit by starting early. Many times work well for mission building. Consider over a winter or spring break with the core group before the masses come in. Shortly before making a big change or decision, such as merging, restructuring, or taking on a huge project. When people seem committed, but there are mysterious breakdowns nonetheless. During some downtime, such as between seasons or when nobody really needs anything from you. When new people have been elected to leadership positions. First question, where are you starting from? Hopefully you are convinced that it's worth your time to discuss what you're doing. As such, first examine your current mission status. Generally, groups fall into three categories with regard to their mission. First, the organization has a pre-established constitution, mission statement, and/or slogan. Second, everyone basically knows what the organization is about, but nothing is really written down. Third, the organization is totally new. So take a look at where your organization is and work from there. First, the organization has something pre-established. Yeah, we've got that somewhere. Okay, so we've got something written down. Well done. But many organizations in this state don't even know where that document is. It's worth taking some time to hunt that down. It could be hiding in a file cabinet far and away. You may have to make a few phone calls to yank it off the hard drive of an alumnus. If you can't find it and people do not remember what it says, then you could probably go ahead and forget about it. If you did get it, take a quick look at what you have. Do you know how it translates into what you're doing now? When was it written? Is it still relevant to what you're doing? Is it like those silly mission statements where people value customer service? Take particular note of the areas of the mission statement that surprise you. Whenever you react with a, "We do that?" or a, "Hey, we don't do that," or a giggle, take note. Compile your list of discrepancies and bring them to the next phase of the mission building process. The second phase, everyone basically knows, but nothing is written down. In this state of mission development, you may very well encounter some surprises. You think everybody is on the same page about what you do, but they may be in totally different places. Some of your members may think your primary objective is personal development, while others may think that it's community service. Remember the host of reasons you listed in the commitment chapter? Your membership may have ideas just as varied as to what your organization is about. This doesn't mean disaster for the organization, but unifying the members can definitely unlock some magic. Start asking people what they think your organization is all about. Keep a list of the different responses you get and bring it to your next step in clarifying your mission. The third area, a new organization. As an organizational founder, you have the most leeway and responsibility in establishing your mission. Building a brand new organization is one of the most rewarding challenges for a student leader. In the mission establishment process, you have an entirely blank slate on which to paint anything. Going through the steps to craft a full-blown mission will give you and your core group a great foundation on which to build your organization. Spending a few hours with your people on mission questions will provide a rewarding experience. People will have no choice but to continually visualize fulfilling the mission. Such visualization creates excitement. What should it contain? So you're now committed to creating this mission thing, but what does that even mean? The notion can be a bit vague. In its most concrete form, you will want some kind of document or statement that says what your organization is about. Missions simply answer fundamental questions. Why does your organization exist? How do you go about making stuff happen? Answering such questions can take the span of a one-sentence statement or a 20-page constitution. Here we'll discuss the questions that you would seek to answer, as well as different document frameworks that have been traditionally used to provide organizations with top-level guidance. A vision. The words within a vision statement attempt to paint a vivid visual picture of your organization at a point in the future. Vision statements can be lofty, angelic, and idealized portraits of what will come to be within an organization. It represents what the organization strives to become. Such statements are inspiring and don't have to be 100% realistic right now. Think about your ultimate dream for your organization. That's your vision. Vision statements answer questions such as, what would be the ultimate manifestation of our organization? What does wild success look like for us this year? What will be our legacy? An example of a vision statement would be, we offer the finest volunteer enrichment opportunities for our membership. A mission statement or a purpose statement. While I've generally been using the word mission as the generic term for any sort of guiding philosophy, a mission statement can have a precise meaning. A mission or purpose statement outlines what an organization does. It delineates an organization's reason for existence. It answers such questions such as, why do we exist? What do we do? Who do we impact? What's our objective? What are we trying to accomplish? An example of a mission statement would be to promote activities related to photography and to foster a community of photographers at all skill levels. Values. Values are the principles, ideals, and priorities that guide behavior. Values establish what your organization stands for and the concepts used in making individual decisions. Values include ideas for conduct and broad categories of action. Examples of a value might be integrity, honor, initiative, innovation, communication, and organization. Values also describe certain statements that you accept as true. Nike has several maxims that its employees operate under, such as the customer decides, and these could be considered values. Values answer questions like, what defines good versus bad? What's really important here? How do you become a star in this organization? What do we want to be known for? What is the most important thing that we can do? How will we determine if we've succeeded or failed? What key thing can we take care of that will take care of all other things? The National Honor Society provides a well-known example of values within a student organization. Their values are scholarship, service, leadership, and character. National Honor Society chapters orient their activities around these values. Philosophy. Sometimes you do stuff, but you're not quite sure why you do it. Expressing your philosophy behind actions runs the process in reverse. You already know what you do, and you're all committed to that. So now you dig into why. By clearly expressing the philosophies behind certain actions, you can fine-tune your operations within them. So philosophies simply answer the questions, why do we do that? Why don't we do it the other way? Where would it not make sense to do that? SOPs. SOP is short for Standard Operating Procedure. They define the traditional manner in which things are to be done. The voices of the intuitive thinkers, remember the preferences chapter, might be screaming, no, because they do not want to be shackled by the past and may even fear that SOPs in writing will impede innovation. That's a valid fear. It often does. You may wish to put a little preamble about continual innovation to ensure that your organization does not stagnate due to the SOPs. Another handy way to keep SOPs from locking down the organization is to include the philosophy behind the SOPs directly alongside them. This way, you can quickly see if your philosophy no longer matches up with your organization's direction or situation. When there's a mismatch, it's a clue to update the SOP. So why go through all this trouble? Well, SOPs can ensure fairness while working through particular procedures and processes that members find tricky. SOPs are well suited for issues such as handling money and reimbursements, elections, and your selection process. SOPs answer really detailed questions such as, how do we go about a particular process? What's our official policy on that? How do we ensure fairness? What is the procedure for doing things? Constitution. If you want a feel for what a constitution is, refer to a handy document called the Constitution of the United States. It essentially lays out how those who run the nation will operate and work with each other. Constitutions define parameters, succession, and how things get done. Like SOPs, but more comprehensive. Your constitution can have multiple sections and even be your organization's grand all-inclusive document that houses your mission, vision, values, and SOPs within it. Constitutions answer questions like, how do we decide who is in charge? What are the requirements for membership and officership? What are the standards for meetings, members, and conduct? In articulating your guiding force, do not feel obligated to follow any framework strictly. Pick and choose, mix and match, and do whatever is appropriate for your organization. If it helps you make decisions, focus your activities, and inspire your membership, then it's doing its job. How should I go about making it? Establishing a top-level source of guidance for your organization is an activity that departs significantly from the normal course of day-to-day operations. It's not like you can just slap it in the middle of a weekly meeting agenda, establish mission. Such a task requires significant time, thought, and attention. You will want to plan ahead and keep people thinking about the bigger questions. In tackling those bigger questions, you'll generally follow five key steps. Prime, escape, ask, check, and keep. First, prime. Let people know your intentions and why you believe it is important to pursue the activities. Since the process takes a while, let your membership or executive board know up front how much time you will need from them and when. Try a call to action such as, guys, I'm going to need 4 consecutive hours of your time at some point within the month. Please begin looking at your calendars. Then follow up with possible dates, giving them plenty of notice. When you provide this initial invitation toward thinking and working on the mission, you may encounter resistance. Bear in mind that certain individuals, especially those strong in sensing, may think the process is stupid or even pointless. We know what we do. Don't make us do this frilly crap, they may say. Share with them a little bit about why having a mission is useful and provide examples of when you were stalled or scattered in your decision-making process. Go ahead and intermingle social and other activities within your mission development session to keep interest high. Similarly, you will want to prepare yourself before diving into this task. You may wish to couple your mission creating process with some team building and goal setting stuff. Make a full day or weekend out of your process to get everyone totally pumped up about what's happening. Plan ahead on what sort of materials you will need to bring to the event. The essentials include food, time, stuff to capture ideas, and a good attitude. Step 2, escape. Thinking about why and how you do what you do is very different from the daily operations of your organization. As such, it's appropriate that you be away from the trappings of daily routine. For success, you need to create an open space and a holistic feeling that they are up to something bigger and broader than what you do on a daily basis. If it's sunny outside, grab a park and pavilion. Reserve a room somewhere beautiful and different. Or just find the person who has the biggest basement or apartment and hold it there. You could do an overnight concept, bringing sleepwear and a sleeping bag. Bring food, beverage, whiteboards, pens, agendas, sticky notes, and everything to make it fun. Invoke your creative spirit to create an environment in which your members can think about the biggest questions your organization faces. Step 3, ask. A mission is really the set of answers to a few fundamental questions. As such, the meat of your process will involve asking the right questions and molding the emerging answers into coherent expression. Generate your own questions in addition to asking questions associated with the guidance documents. Some additional questions for your inspiration follow. Having your people think about these questions is a great starting point. What are we trying to do every time we do blank? What's really the point in blank? Why do we have difficulties and standstills? What's the most important thing that we do? What things could we do that would take care of everything else? Why do we matter? How would we, our campus, and our communities be different if we did not exist? What thing that we do makes us feel proudest? Who would be saddest to see our organization dissolve? Why? What would be the ideal state for this organization? What do we do that's different from everybody else? Why are you a member of this organization? While asking these questions, you can employ any number of solutions to track the answers. For example, have each person share his or her answer, then summarize it on one line on a whiteboard or flip chart or chalkboard or projected device. Another is to have each person fill out post-it notes and place them somewhere. For numerous ideas on how to effectively think in groups, flip ahead to the synergy chapter. As you collect ideas, keep your eye out for the themes. Generally, the waves of ideas flow forth from a few cherished concepts. Continually search for these ideas and ask your members to search as well. Throw out feeler statements like, "I seem to be hearing that the relationships we form are crucial," and note nods or absence of nods. After going through several iterations, you can identify those themes. Finally, try to string them together into an inspired expression of who you are. Step 4, check. After the thrill and excitement of crafting your grandiose statement passes, take some time off. Wait a little while. Then flash your cherished statement before the group. Do they still think that it relevantly expresses what your group is about? Are they still inspired? If so, then you've got something magical on your hands. But if not, inquire further into what's wrong. Don't be discouraged. People often love something for a moment, but later dislike it. Crafting a mission is a creative process, like writing art or theater. Often the first draft won't quite cut it. Tweak your documents in the realism of non-retreat mode to get something that's really on target. Step 5, keep. If your statements are indeed doing an effective job of enhancing decisions, focusing your activities, and inspiring your membership, make sure you don't lose them. Keep your statement around for posterity. If you really believe in it, plaster it everywhere. Put it on the website, stationery, or other stuff. Print numerous copies. Hang it in the organization's office or advisor's file cabinet. You may even shrink it onto business card-sized paper so the members can keep it in their wallet. Stick it on folders, cups, or anything else to ensure that it does not disappear with the ages. Share it with the next crop of leaders, how you have successfully utilized your overarching philosophies to better lead your organization. While you are in the process of stashing things away, go ahead and include all your favorite tips and tricks for getting things done. Include great successes you've had with fundraising, recruiting, speakers, and other repeatable items. Tuck a copy of this book in there too. You want to have a place for the generations so they don't repeat your mistakes with their hours and dollars. In practice, this is hard to do. You might want to print out multiple copies and entrust them with each new generation of officers. You could also have a master archive folder on a Gmail account, website, or hard drive that you know to pass on to every new class. Your efforts will be rewarded, however. A compilation of assorted tips and knowledge makes each year's members more effective than the previous year's members. That's powerful. Who is affected? The short answer is as many as possible. As a matter of fact, it is your job to ensure that as many people as possible understand and can relate to the mission. If you've created a slick statement that sounds really good, but nobody knows what it means, then you have failed. By creating a unifying philosophy for your organization, you're making something big that allows everyone to relate. That's huge. In your daily leadership, make it clear how each person's task connects to the bigger mission, and some magical things will happen. People begin feeling a strong loyalty to what your organization stands for. Practice using words, phrases, and sentences that connect tasks to your mission. Here's an example. Well, we're all about underwater hockey. And we can't very well do that if nobody knows we exist. So we need you to tell the whole world about us with these flyers. Can you do that? Then watch the beauty unfold. Recap. Missions focus your efforts and provide clarity to decision making. The energies you spend creating missions will be repaid many times over. Visions, mission statements, value statements, constitutions, standard operating procedures, and philosophies are all different sorts of frameworks for capturing what you're about. Ask the right questions in the right environment, codify your answers, and use them as your guide. So you have worked through innumerable questions in order to better understand you and your organization. Congratulations! Few student leaders get to this point. With a mission in place, your foundation is set. You'll discover that you quickly recoup the time you invest in this process with the everyday enhanced clarity. The next step is to ensure that the rest of the organization is well situated on that foundation and believes in it. In order to make that happen, you'll employ the tools of